Yeah, guys, that sound means you've made it back to the Daddy Daughter Podcast.
Congratulations, you've made it.
Yeah, you've made it. Thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm never going to be deleting any of those ever. Just so you know. All right, give me a check.
Can you hear this?
I can't hear it.
Check, check, check.
Yep, just a little bit. Yep, perfect. All right, so we are coming in hot. Coming in caliente for this podcast. Because we just got back from a walk. And on that walk, we started a conversation. And I was like, you know what? This is what we need to talk about. Like, this is what it's about. This is the type of thing that helps me. Give me a mic check, babe.
Check, check, check.
Okay. So this is the type of thing that I need to talk about. This is the thing that you and I need to talk about. This is what brings us closer. But this is also the type of thing that I think it's important for other people to hear.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me, we're going like super into it, right? We don't have the banter time right now, but we're gonna get back to that. And who knows, maybe I'll put some banter time into it.
My nose is still cold from our walk.
Yeah. So I just felt like this was a conversation that we needed to have. Tell me the question. Tell me the last thing you said when I said, are you comfortable saying that again?
So I said, if someone ever like hurt me or abused me, or if I grew up with some type of abuse, and then they left my family after hurting them, and then like did that to another family, I don't know if or how I would forgive them.
Yeah. And I thought that was, first of all, an amazing observation. I think that if I were to kind of identify something that's in our relationship that I know is not well defined, I think that part of it is this space. So we're going to talk about it a little bit.
All right.
So first and foremost, there's two things that are very important for you, and I've said these to you before, but it's important for you to, as you move forward with the rest of the narrative, for you to understand that I forgive my dad. He's never asked for forgiveness. There has never been, you know, that moment that was like, oh yeah, this is what I did. This is also part of the reason why I say and teach you that it's so important for us to own the things that we've done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just know what it feels like to not get that. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't forgive somebody. And to be honest with you, more often than not, forgiveness comes from a place that's inside of you that has nothing to do with the other person. Even though you're forgiving another person, you are releasing something that causes you pain, right? And you've heard me say it before, it's like not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like unforgiveness is something that just does not jive with our spirit and our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And it grows and it festers. And so 9 times out of 10, doing the work to forgive someone is more for you than it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. I forgive my dad. I honestly forgive my dad. You earlier in this conversation, you had said, you said, you asked me, do you think that one day I'll ever meet him? And I was like, that's really, it's not really my concern.
Yeah.
It's not something I focused on. It's not something I'm thinking about. And the way it stands today, no. It's not my interest for you to be in that space. There's still a lot of signs of damage and hurt, and I just wouldn't expose that to you or you to that. But then I said, yeah, you know, if I don't know what his life is like, but if he's having a good life, then cool. And you're like, what? It's like, yeah, I want him to have a good life. He is my dad.
Yeah.
I want him to have a good life. It is unfortunately a life that I'm not able to share with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too much. It's a reoccurring, not just reoccurring, but as I have not blocked him from text messaging. And part of that is because, like, maybe one day I hear change. And even though I don't respond and haven't responded in like 6 years, he has not changed. Like, the narrative is still the same. There's still a lot of manipulation in the words and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I feel like the door is cracked, kind of. Like, hey, you know, if one day, if I could consistently for a period of time hear that there's change that's happened, then I don't know, whatever, right? There's always a Hail Mary. But there's no interest now. And I want to make sure that you understand that the Bible tells us to honor our mother and father. And if it has ever seemed like I don't honor him, then I want to make sure I right that ship first, because my dad has done a lot of things. He has created a lot of pain, right? And he perpetuates and continues to perpetuate a lot of pain. A lot of bad things have come from his story and our interaction in that story. But years ago, with forgiveness, with my ability to forgive him and wish him well, genuinely hope that one day he can get his life like together and have a relationship with, you know, the kids that, you know, he hasn't like kind of overdone it with, or other kids that are out there in the world, you know. With that forgiveness came honor, because I was... You're not able to honor someone that you don't forgive, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
You can't forgive someone. You can't hold resentment for them and then have honor in the same space. Yeah. It's just that one's water, one's a flame. And so I was able to honor him. And you know how I was able to honor him? It was the realization that the things that are that my father and I were given the same gifts, like the same spiritual gifts. Like, we're the same. When you look at like the packages that we arrived, our spirits arrived in on earth, we're very, very similar.
Yeah,
we even look kind of similar now. Like, you said it, you saw it, and you said like, oh wow, you look a lot like your dad. And honestly, years ago, that would have been like, go to your room and don't talk to me for the rest of the night, you know what I'm saying? Like, there would have been like a what? And I'm nothing like him. But the reality is, the honor that I can give to my father is that we were blessed with the same spiritual gifts, a lot of the same discernment gifts, speaking, the personality. Like, there's people in the world that, like, they might not like me as a person, but I get around them and somehow, at least for that 5 minutes, they like me and they don't even know why.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of my dad. That's the truth of my dad. He has that same, like, ability to, like, walk into the room and... trying or not, it's not a thing. Like, and that's not something else. It's like, that's how he knows it's a gift, because there's times that I don't even want to own the room, and I walk in the room and then there's people that want to talk to me, and because there's just something that God's put on me that connects me to people, whether I want to be or not. So, you know, sometimes it feels like when I'm low, it feels like, oh, that's a hard thing. When I'm high, it feels like, gosh, that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he has that, you know what I'm saying? And so I can honor by calling out exactly what I see that's good. And that's what honor is, right? It's saying, I know what God did in that person. I don't have to exactly like that person's actions. I don't have to like all the things that person's done to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can honor a person and say, I can see the things that God's done inside him that were extraordinarily amazing. And so I want to make sure that you understand that there's always honor. Now, there wasn't always. There hasn't always been. The facts are the facts. And this is my story. And it's an important story, I think, for a lot of people to understand how brokenness, how abuse can be turned into just like a rising from the ashes almost. How people that have been abused in the past can live with their shoulders back and their head high for real, because their identity is in God and not in that broken relationship. And so these are some of the things that I wanted to kind of get into you, and they were coming out in this conversation. But I think that this is important for people to understand that people can do you wrong and you can still honor them. And a lot of times that way, through the way that to get there is through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's by stopping drinking the poison, you know, because God forgives you no matter what you do. And if I'm saying that I'm trying to be a person that lives like God wants me to, I got to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that it's one of those topics. I don't know if you'll ever meet your granddad. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I know that as of right now, I have no interest in it. And to be honest with you, it's my job in the world to protect you. I had to do a lot of figuring the protecting of myself out. It took me decades. But probably, you know, it's funny because I can remember the sermon that I was listening to. It was in our old building at Soul City. Jarrett was teaching. And I will never forget, like, the day the light bulb went on. And he said something along the lines of, you know, drinking the poison is like drinking it and having someone else die, or mm-hmm. expecting someone else to be hurt and drinking the poison. And something about that just was like, wow, I want to be free of anything less than forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm ready to like live my life and live it under outside of a, because my dad did things that I wouldn't do. And a lot of, here's the crazy part about it. A lot of the way I live my life today is because of what I saw when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying? It's because I saw what not to do. I saw how not to love my kids. I saw how not to respect and honor my partner. I saw these things, and they are valuable. Even though they were bad and they were wrong and there is trauma involved in a lot of those things, I was given the playbook of how not to be a man of God. And I have just prayed and fought and tried to do anything and everything I can do. And I mm-hmm. fall short often, but I've done everything that I know how to do to be a man who serves God and not himself,
mm-hmm.
who serves others and not himself. And so that is that relationship. And I just want to make sure that you know that you can always ask me about it, but I can feel it. It's like, out of all the things, it's one of the few things that I feel like you kind of tiptoe around a little bit. So is there anything else that you want to ask me? We're completely like unprepped and unrehearsed or anything, but about him, about growing up, about our family, about your family.
What was, like, when he did, like, hurt you or, like, say things,
mm-hmm.
what was it like going back to school?
Like,
did your teacher say anything?
No.
Or any adults, like the principal or something mm-mm. like that?
No.
Because you were mixed?
No. Wait, why would you think that, first of all? Oh, because I was mixed and I was going to kind of a white elementary school?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe because I was different. And I don't know. I think more than anything at my elementary school, I was different, not just because I was mixed, but I was bussed in. I was like a guest.
Mm-hmm.
I was like the neighborhood that didn't exactly like was zoned for that school. So I went to a pretty well off elementary school. And it was still public school, but it was just in a really like really nice neighborhood. And I think I think that obviously, you know, when you put in those situations, you don't really know what's going on as a kid. Right. But I definitely had a situation where, you know, I had made a best friend, and then I went to my best friend's house, and then he was like, I can't be your best friend, like, the next day.
Wow.
Because my parents said you're too dark and poor.
Your parents or their parents?
Their parents, yeah.
Wow.
His parents had said that. So, you know, we weren't allowed to be friends, but we still were able to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything in that place, maybe people didn't look. Maybe. I don't know. You know, it's kind of a blur when you're a kid. That you don't really have the expectation. You're not mm-hmm. looking to it. But I think that my father was also smart with it, if there's a such thing. So I don't think a lot of things are, like, visible. They might have been, like, you know, below the belt or...
Did you ever try and communicate to people that you were being hurt?
I didn't...
Did you ever
I didn't know how.
It?
I didn't... yeah, you know what? I didn't really know what normal was. You know?
Because you grew up
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, I mean, there was always... I remember we always kind of walked on eggshells. And we always kind of had situations that, like, they could pop off and things could get weird
mm-hmm.
for no reason. I remember one time my sister got it because someone else in the room, like, passed gas and no one admitted it. Which, what kid admits farting? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
What? I don't even know if that's normal to assume. But because no one else did and he thought it was her, he thought she was lying. I mean, I can hear that right now in my head. I can hear her screaming. So I didn't know it was different. I didn't know what the level was supposed to be. I didn't know what was okay and what was not okay. I was a kid. And so it's the reason why I'm such an advocate now for healthy parenting and for healthy communication and healthy relationships with kids. Because, you know, kids don't really know what they're supposed to know. You know what I'm saying? So we are so responsible. We have to be so responsible as parents with trying to do the right thing. And trying to be there for our kids and listen to our kids and talk to our kids and find out what's going on in their lives, you know, because the only way that we can break any chains or cycles is to listen to our kids. And the only way is for there to be open and healthy dialogue. That's why this, I think that's one of the reasons why this is our project, because I want you to understand that I don't have all the answers, you know what I'm saying? But I want to listen. And I want you to know that you have a place to talk. That's okay. Whether it's this podcast or just walking down the street, it's important for you to know what's right, you know? And it's the reason why we've been going to Soul City for 8 years, and you being there is as much of a reason as me being there. Because I don't want to control the narrative. I don't want to control the information that you have. I want you to hear about Jesus and God and hear what's right and talk to your friends and encourage that so much that our relationship as father-daughter is like confirmation that God is involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to control the narrative and tell you what you need to think. I want to expose you to the truth and let the truth be what holds us together. When I grew up, the truth would have convicted my dad. The truth would have opened our eyes. If we knew the truth, if we knew what God wanted for us, for real, it would have opened our eyes and it would have set us free. And in that, he didn't want that. He wanted to be that to our family. And in a lot of ways he was. In a lot of ways I didn't know anything different. You know, one of the reasons why I try to communicate with you how and how often I make mistakes and how broken I am, and my struggle with depression and my struggle with provision sometimes. The reason why I want to share these things with you is because I never want you to think that I'm great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never want you to think, maybe you can think I'm great, but don't think that I'm like not a mess. Don't think that I don't make mistakes. Don't think that I'm not going to say the swear word when I'm not supposed to say the swear word. Don't say it. Think that I'm not going to say something about someone behind their back that I shouldn't say. I don't want you to think anything inhumanly good about me because I'm human. And I remember the day I was probably 14 years old, and I had my dad up on this pedestal for years, and I knew nothing different. And I'll never forget the minute that came falling down for me. And he came out of the room with the woman that he had been sleeping with. And I'll never forget that minute when I realized that my dad was not who I thought he was. That he was a monster. That he was going to take me and we would drive back home that night after he just shared his bed with another woman in front of me. I will never forget that day when everything came falling down. And I was so broken and I was so confused because it tore my whole life apart. Imagine knowing that you're walking on solid ground and then finding yourself drowning in an ocean and having no idea where dry land is. That's what it was for me. To understand that this person that I thought, who had made himself out to be a god on earth, was so evil. And to be honest with you, it's relative, right? Because I say the word evil because it was so extreme. But the reality is, he was human, right? But we're so far disconnected from the perception and the reality. We're so far away from each other that it only presented itself as evil. Because how could you? And you want me to keep it a secret? And now I got to go talk to my mom? Mm-hmm. I got to be with him. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget that. And I never want to be that. I never want to think you to think that I'm better than I am. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, for real. If I'm doing a good job, great. But I never want you to think that I'm different than what I say I am. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big deal. That's been a big part of my parenting. A big part of my parenting was just making sure you see the flaws, making sure you're like, yo, because I'm flawed, you are allowed to be flawed. Mm-hmm. I was not allowed to be flawed when I was a kid. A lot. You and I talked about a bee today. How'd that conversation go? Yeah, okay. So she's looking a little awkward. So, but here's the thing. Here's the difference. You and I got into it about this bee because the bee was a result of something that you could have prevented. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of, are you okay if I share it? Honestly?
The gym?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the mic. So the bee was a result of you not wearing the right shoes every day. Seriously. It's seriously like wearing the right shoes, doing the thing. It was not, I told you that I was more upset about that bee because it was so far in your control than I was about getting other grades when you actually needed help learning the information. Because one thing is like, hey, yo, you can control that bee by wearing the right tennis shoes, keeping tennis shoes in your backpack. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be upset about like a bee if it's like, hey, you know what? I did my best. I got 80% on that test and it brought my score down to a B. Yo, all right, cool. High five, fist bump, whatever you want about that B. Did you do your best? Great. Then we're good. That's all that I care about. But when there's things that are not. Now, my dad did not care about that period at all, at even a little bit. It was straight A's or that was your Okay. That was a problem. I mean, literally, kind of. That was your butt. And so there's a difference there, right? Because the consideration of, like, am I having a hard time? That did not go into the equation. It was only, was it perfect? If it wasn't perfect, there are no excuses, period. Mm-hmm. I choose a different stance. I'm not going to be upset about it, B. You're about to say something.
So if you made one mistake, your dad would like if you made one mistake, if you said something at school,
mm-hmm.
like if you said "he double hockey sticks"
mm-hmm.
at school,
mm-hmm.
and then the teacher told your father, or yeah, he found it. Out somehow,
yeah,
he would punish you for that.
Yes.
Just one simple mistake.
Yeah.
Even if it's like not doing the last dish you were supposed to do.
Yes.
So he was trying to make you think that he was perfect?
I don't know. Honestly, there's a lot of things that I can't exactly put my finger on why. I have only been able to be comforted by the fact that God gives grace. And that's not just like a cliche, like, hey, whatever. But there are so many things. And here's the thing. I can sense that you want details. When you say abused, what does that mean? When you say you made a mistake and you got punished, what does that mean? And I know that there's a black hole there. I'm going to leave some of that to not imagination, but I'm going to leave some of that to this statement. There's nothing that you would experience in your parental situation that could ever come close to it. There's nothing that it will stay and remain a black hole. The details, some of the details are heartbreaking. Some of the details are traumatic. Some of the things that happened to me as a kid are things that I have buried very far and very deep inside of me to be able to survive. There's things about things that I've seen in my life, the people that I've seen killed in front of me. There's things that I have witnessed that don't serve me well to go back and think about again, except in like a contained, safe, maybe therapeutic or therapy type environment. And some of that I've done, some of that I have to do yet. But just understand that about the things that you don't know, that first of all, I wouldn't have it any other way. And that might sound like a weird thing to say, but I would change nothing about the way I grew up. Nothing. I know you're looking at me confused. I would change nothing. Nothing at all. Not one day, not one minute, not one, nothing. Because every single thing that happened, every single thing that I've gone through, I've gotten to the other side through of every single thing has given me another way to connect with people in the world in and through my story that helps me to literally be able to feel what it feels like to go through that thing with someone when it's time. And he's put me in the world to hold space with people in places that I could not ever be if I hadn't gone through some of the stuff that I've gone through in my life. You understand? Like, I love people, like, at the bottom of my... Just the other day. Okay, I'm going to let you tell what happened without me prompting you at all, and you look confused. What happened when we watched the end of Cheer?
Oh, yeah. At the end of the series we were watching, Cheer, mm-hmm. they had won...
Yeah, I don't know. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to know what's happening in Cheer... Don't listen right now, I guess. I don't know what to do, but you got to say it because it's part of the point.
Yeah. So they had won the competition. They practiced for like months,
mm-hmm.
and they went. It was tradition for them every time they won, they would go into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lake.
Yeah, it's the ocean.
And
Daytona Beach, Florida. So it's on the ocean.
Okay, so yeah, they would like celebrate, and run into the water, and like with the trophy,
mm-hmm.
In someone's hands, and just like cheer and like have fun,
mm-hmm.
With it, and they would, you could see like how happy they were,
mm-hmm.
and the coach's shirt said, "Faith over fear,"
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just you could see how happy they were.
So what happened, what I was specifically asking, what happened when you looked over at me?
Oh, yeah, you're crying.
Mm-hmm. Do you understand why?
Because they won?
Yeah, kinda. But...
Oh, probably because they had been through so much, like, with people getting hurt, mm-hmm. With, like, falling from the pyramid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How many like people have gotten hurt and how long it took them to get that. And one guy actually got hurt during the first.
Okay, we don't have to share. We're not going to tell the whole story. And to be honest with you, that's a lot of the story. But the point was, I was specifically saying, what was I doing when all that was happening?
Crying.
Do you understand why?
Yes and no.
Okay. So yes, because they won. Yes, because there's adversity. But more than that, I love people so much. It's like people are my favorite thing on earth. Good for better or worse, right? And sometimes it bites me in the butt. But I love people so much. It is like inside of my DNA.
Yeah.
And when I can identify, gosh, how good it had to feel, how much they had to overcome, the stories and how they got there. That's what I love about sports. I love people's stories about sports. I love that there's this guy at that you know, he bought a house for his mom with his first check. I love that. I love the trial of life. In contrast with like winning competition, I just love people. You know what I'm saying? So when people's story says, yo, we've been through it. And God got us to the other side. God got us to the point. And to be honest with you, it doesn't even matter to me if people are saying like, hey, God did it. That's fine. That's great. That's amazing that you know that. But I know, no matter what, that like God is involved in all things. Believe in it or not, believe in him or not. So when I see it, what I see in front of me is just how beautiful it is to have a God that allows you to grow up in the hood, see people killed in front of your face. You know what I'm saying? And then go talk to the world about how amazing God is now, today. That, like people's stories, people, that there's always another side, that there's always the other side of the pain. There's always the other side of the heartache. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love it. I love like all the stories. I love when the story is real, of course. Like, I love it when like this is a real thing that happened. But even fictional, like I love the idea that there is a, you know, there's something to go through and then there's something to get over. There's something. I love that. I love that when I see it happening in front of people. I'm the person that someone's like, yo, I'm going to the Bahamas. My friend the other day was like, I'm going to the Bahamas. You jealous? And I'm like, no. I'm like, for real happy for you. I'm not jealous that I'm not going. I'm for real actually happy that you're going. Like, yeah. I am, because I love people so much that I just want people to have the best life, to be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
So when I get to see it on, it's like, yeah, you know, and at first I was about to fight the tears, but then I was like, no, why would I fight the tears? I want her to see that I love people and that I'm happy for people. I'm genuinely happy for people. They're flipping all over the world and I can't even barely like lift 20 pounds. I'm not allowed to lift 20 pounds right now. That's my restriction. Like I'm in so much pain, it's dumb. But these people that can clearly flip all over the universe and do all the things just won the championship and I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I don't know. I think that I didn't know when this conversation was going to happen about my dad. And I want to create and open the space for you to continue to ask. And I might, and as you grow, I might tell you more details. I might give you more examples. I might not. I might just let some of those things stay like done, resolved in a box that's part of me, but not all of me.
Yeah.
That's like a significant part of my childhood, but I wouldn't be the dad that I was if I hadn't gone through it. You know what I'm saying? If I hadn't gone through that and then seen my mom in contrast and said like, both of y'all say you love God. Which one is showing it? You know what I'm saying? Like that is kind of what was happening at the time. When I was 12, I think I had an 12, 13, 14, I had an opportunity to like be just like my dad. And that would have been, I would have crushed it. Probably been a millionaire. But I would have used each and every person in the world to get there. Or I would have been like my mom. And I would have humbly served God quietly. Sometimes in the background, except for the fact that I'm loud. But but either way, like the posture of her heart was to serve the kingdom of heaven, to invest in her kids. She's the one that buried things inside of me that come out now. She is the planter of so many seeds inside of who I am that you get to enjoy the fruit. You know what I'm saying? That people in relationship with me now get to enjoy the fruit of things that she put inside of me years ago. And I made a decision that's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be a good sower into my child. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's so important. And so I know that's not always easy. I know that's not, I trust me, being a parent is the hardest thing in the world. And you know, it's the hardest job in the world, right? Because no matter what, there's so many things out there that could change the outcome. There's so many, you could do all the right things and then it's the outcome still be tough or one that you're not willing to accept, you know, like, hey, you know, I want my kid to be a banker, you know, whatever. And family genes, this is what the family does. And then the kid is like, whatever, an artist. They always, this is like the contrast between like, oh, the artist, is the artist going to make money? I don't care. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I want you to do it well. I want you to do your best. The things that are important in school is your job until it's not. I want that to be your job. So I want you to do your best. And if you tell me you can do you did your best, then I'm going to be cool with it. If you tell me that you got to be because you forgot to put gym shoes in your bag, we got a problem. And I'm going to have to own your brand new AirPods. If, by the way, shout out to Bob Mueller. Grandpa bought AirPods for the child, and that is amazing. But here's the thing. You get those benefits and those privileges because you do your best.
Mm-hmm.
If you become an artist, great. Let's be the best artist you can be. Let's make sure that you're happy doing it. Like, I care more about you being happy. I care about you being happy, healthy, well-rounded, caring, and empathetic human being in the world than I care about anything you do or anything you produce or anything that, you know what I'm saying? I want you to continue to be proud of yourself. I want to motivate you and stimulate and hopefully culture things that we can do to be proud of ourselves. Yeah. I think that's such an amazing theme for this podcast. Let's do something. If you're listening to this, do something that you can be proud of this week. It's important. It's important to be proud of yourself. You might have to go do it. You might not be able to wait for somebody else to do it. You might have to just like start doing it and be okay being bad at it for a couple of days. But just do it. do something to make yourself proud.
Yeah.
And if you can do those things, kid, here's the thing. That's, there's no pressure about that. The thing that you have to do is the thing that's going to fill you up the most. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And completes you the most.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think that can kind of represent a shift and a breaking of a cycle in the story that I could have told and the story that I have to live into until now.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. You know? And it sounds different than what my dad would have done. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of myself. I am. I am proud of myself for being a different dad than I had. Because it's taken a lot. It's taken a lot of work on myself. It's taken a lot of constantly paying attention to my actions, consistently making sure that I'm not going off the path. It takes a lot of self-discipline. Part of the reason why I left nightclubs was because self-control and self-discipline was too far outside of my grasp. I was starting to blame other people, like, oh man, like I was at 17 different places last night, and you know what I'm saying, like, because of everyone else, they just wanted to hang out with me. But I wasn't taking control, and I wasn't taking, and that's not something that I want to model as your dad. So that's why I left. I didn't leave the service industry because, like, it was terrible, it was dark. No, I felt like God was calling me to those places to be a light in a dark place for a long time. And then he did it, you know? And then it was time for me to, like, care for me, get strong myself.
Yeah.
Be the best dad that I can be, and not not a product of my environment. Let's put it that way. Because I don't have that luxury anymore, because I'm your dad. I have the luxury and the honor of being your dad. I don't get the luxury of, like, doing whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? I don't need it. Once I became a father, and I submit to your needs. That is my responsibility. To make sure that you're good. I don't need it. Like, I don't need to do what I want anymore. Like, maybe I want to, like, go off and, you know, I want to make sure that what I do is something that's healthy for you. You know, I still got to take care of myself. We still have to have self-care and all that kind of stuff. But I think that people in the world are really good at hearing about self-care, talking about self-care right now. Let's make sure that we're talking about, you know, make sure that self-care is, like, involves our kids first, if you're a parent. So, all right, that's a lot of me talking, and I like it when you talk more, and you will talk more next podcast.
All right.
All right. You got anything that you want to say? Anything about all this weird topic of my dad?
I'm proud, or I'm happy that you're proud of yourself.
Mm.
And I'm happy that you feel good about yourself.
Mm. Thanks, babe. It means a lot. It means a lot. I want you to be proud of me too.
You know? And I am.
I want you to be, I know I'm weird. You know? I know I'm a dork. I know we're just at church an hour or two ago. And I know that I got to talk to every single person. And I got to do all that stuff. And actually, that's the topic of our next podcast.
Yep.
It is, what's the title of our next podcast? It's going to be a two-part series called What's It Like?
Yep.
And the idea is, what's it like being on the other side of me? You know, and then I'm going to answer that question about being on the other side of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through some specific things that go on in our life. Like, examples are, like, you know, what's it like being Joel's kid? You know, what's it like having to stop every 5 minutes that I'm walking through? You know, what's it like that I have this calling on my life? And so this calling in my life to be in ministry affects you directly. So I want to make sure that we create space for that. And at the same time, I want to answer, what's it like, you know, being on the other side of you? I want you to know what I see and what I have the pleasure and the honor and the fun of seeing in you in your life too. So tune in next time, guys, for What's It Like? I have a feeling that's going to be a two-part episode. We're going to do first part, and then a to be continued. So we'll do a two-part series called What's It Like? And we're going to go through some things about what's it like to be on the other side of me as a parent, as a daughter, and I hope you turn in. I hope you want to listen to it. There's a lot of me talking this time, and I'm sorry.
It's fine.
You're like, I'm used to it, right? Yeah. Well, this is a big one. This is a this is an elephant that's in the room, and I want to make sure that I open up and create space for this elephant.
Yeah.
Because it's our life. Mm-hmm. So I've talked a lot. You mind praying for us this time?
Okay.
All right. Yay. Okay.
Dear God, I pray that anyone and everyone who's felt pain in the past is able to realize that they're loved and they're cared about and they are able to forgive anyone who has hurt them in the past. And I pray that you give everyone who's listening right now a sense of confidence and a sense of love that they're able to do and accomplish anything they set their mind to.
That's right.
And I pray that you keep letting me and my dad have these conversations, have these meaningful conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for Kobe Bryant and his family.
Mm.
And just the pain that they're feeling right now.
Yeah.
To heal that and just help them, help us, help everybody who's feeling pain right now.
Yeah.
To just make sure that they're loved. And they feel loved. Amen.
Amen. I'm so happy I asked you to pray. You're so good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today to our podcast. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.